Happy Mother's Day. Okay, so here's what I did know. You're full of pancakes. And right about now, they're starting to kick in. God kind of made it interesting because it's one of those kind of dreary, nice, cool Sunday mornings. Yeah, I was like, let's go home and just go to bed. Yeah, no, we'll be there later, right? But today is Mother's Day, and well, we're going to celebrate Mom. And it fits very nicely with what we're doing. Remember, we're just at the beginning parts of this building an incredible family. And so today we are going to talk about an incredible woman. And well, I'd like to introduce you to this lady named Helen Parr. Who is she? Well, she's a homemaker who does her best to unify her family and help them adjust to living a normal life. She is the wife of Robert Parr, whom she calls Bob. We call him Mr. Incredible. And well, she has three incredible kids, Violet Parr, Dashiell Robert Parr, also called Dash, and John Jackson Parr, who everybody calls Baby Jack-Jack. She is an accomplished pilot and motorcycle rider, so she's a cool mom. And well, she's also an expert in hand-to-hand combat, which means that she's a mom you don't want to mess with. And in case you didn't notice in the little clip I showed you, she's a superhero. Her code name is Elastigirl, and well, she has superhuman elasticity. She can stretch as far as she wants. She has superhuman agility. She can bounce and jump and run and do all of these things. She has enhanced strength. Did you see her throw that pothole? You know how much those things weigh? They're kind of a heavy thing that you have to deal with there. She can shapeshift. You notice when she was rescuing her kids, she turned into a parachute to bring them down safely, because that's what she can do. She has superhuman durability. She can go and go and go and take a punch, and you know what? She doesn't wear down very easily. And just so you know, she is also completely fictional. Helen Parr, aka Elastigirl, does not exist in this world outside of a movie screen. She's not here. So that leaves us with the question, since I can't use her, how do I figure out what makes an incredible woman? And well, today is Mother's Day, and all across the country, people are going to be doing sermons either targeted at mom or women. And I am hazarding to guess, based off of statistics, that over half of those sermons are going to come from one passage in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. And before you turn there, that's not where we're going to be. But I wanted to stop here and take a look at this, because this is a good thing for us to ask, because the Bible tells, in Proverbs 31, the Bible tells us that finding this incredible woman is a hard thing to do. It says that once you find her, you have found an extremely valuable resource. And really, ladies, think about this for a second. This woman in Proverbs chapter 31, who wouldn't want to be her? Because she is absolutely, positively incredible. Let me just give you the list. According to verses 10 through 12, she's an incredible wife. According to verses 13 through 19, she's an incredible provider. According to verse 20, she's an incredible neighbor. According to verse 21 through 23, she's an incredible house manager. According to the next verses there in 24 and 25, she's an incredible businesswoman. Then we go down to verse 26, and she's an incredible counselor. Then we go down to verses 27 through 28, and she's an incredible mom. And then Solomon tells us, this woman, she's worthy of praise. This is what it says: charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all of her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. So moms, come on, guys. These ladies deserve a hand, but you know what? When we read that, ladies, do you not see that list and you feel yourselves a little bit stretched? You feel that maybe you're having to take on a little too much of the load? I mean, that's hard. That list that I just ran down. Anybody here want to say, I meet that list, ladies? You do? Wow, cool. We'll get you a nice spandex suit and a mask, because guess what? That lady at Proverbs chapter 31, maybe you didn't know this. She doesn't actually exist. Huh? No. This wasn't the description of an actual lady. You need to understand what Proverbs is. Proverbs is old man Solomon talking to his son that he's about to hand the mantle off to be the king. And so the entire book is an advice column from father to son. So when you read Proverbs chapter 31, what Solomon is trying to say is, hey, son, this is the kind of woman that you really want. But you know what the truth is? Solomon never found her. Although, give the man credit. He tried real hard. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3 says, he had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. So Solomon went on an endless search to find this woman. 700 marriages. Man, that's a lot of marriages. And he had some women on the side too, because he never found her. You know why? Sorry, she doesn't exist. She's not there. There is no lady that could absolutely positively be that elastic. It's an unrealistic standard to think that she could stretch that far and be a mom and a wife and a businesswoman and a housemaker and a cook and a cleaner. And I realize ladies take on a lot of these roles, but think about it. Everybody has one that you don't do well. And everybody has a lot that you're probably like, I am so sick of doing this. I'm going to teach my husband to cook. I'm going to teach my husband to fold his own clothes. Because you know what? I'm just stretched way too far. And you know what, guys? If she did exist, you wouldn't want to marry her, because you wouldn't be worthy of her. Man, she would leave you in the dust if she could do all of that, and it would be nothing good for you, because nothing would ever work well. Because guess what? You'd be married to a superhero. You'd be married to somebody that maybe is the ideal woman in the back of our brain, but it's not what makes an incredibly godly woman. Now, for those characteristics, we got to go find another book of the Bible. We got to move over here into the New Testament, and we're going to be the 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to be verses 1 through 4. So now, if you want to find your way to the scripture we're going to use this morning, this is the scripture that we're going to look at this morning, and this is what it says. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles or wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is great and is of great worth in God's sight. Here's the thing. I just want to let you know something. I have no control over the news cycle. But they sure do me a lot of favors sometimes, because if you've been reading the news this week, this is the perfect verse for where we are in our world today. Because this week has just been utter chaos, if you've been reading the headlines. And I know as I read that scripture, I can feel it. The tension in the room goes up. I mean, for some, the verses that I just read, these are not just unpopular. Folks, these are fighting words. These are words that aren't well accepted. As a matter of fact, there's probably some people here thinking, you know what? Somebody needs to remind the pastor it's 2022 and not 1822. These verses don't apply the way that we think that they do, and we need to think about how we're saying them. And you know what? It really all just comes down to one word that starts off the scripture. And we get caught on this word, and it's as far as we ever move. So how about we deal with the elephant in the room where we're going to start? Here's our word. Submit. It's right there at the front. You don't get even out of the first verse. And it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. But I submit to you, the reason we have problems with this word is we don't understand the word. This word, unfortunately, has been used without the consideration that you find in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, which says, listen up, men. Husbands, in the same way, you are to be considerate as you live with your wives. Not only do we not use it with the right consideration, sometimes we don't use it with the right compassion. That is talking about in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Sometimes we don't even use it with the practical common sense that you find in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. So guys, when we start talking about this word, I have to start with you and me. All those that consider themselves male and you're a husband, you have to remember, in short, gentlemen, we're the reason women have such a strong word against, such a strong opinion about this word. Because we are becoming a stumbling block to our wives because we have used the word as a weapon, trying to take control instead of using it as God intended it for nurturing. And well, there are many ladies that wish we were a little more nurturing in the way that we do this, and really it's just kind of the way it works, that we just can't follow the way that God wants to be. So how about we do this? I don't do this very often, but I'm about to change scripture for you. I'm going to reread 1 Peter chapter 3, except for I am going to change one word. Listen carefully. Wives, in the same way, love your husbands, love your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see your purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles or wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Rather, you should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Which word did I change? Well, I changed it from the word submit. I changed it to the word love. And what I want you to understand that I didn't do anything wrong, because love actually is equal to submit, and submit is equal to love. As a matter of fact, love and submission are so inseparable, they're intertwined with each other. Much like last week, we talked about love and grace. Think about it this way. There's an idea here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, that the husband eventually, remember we read the verse where husbands were commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And how much did Christ love the church? Well, it says that he gave himself for it. Be found in the appearance of the man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to the death on the cross. So everybody here agrees that Christ is the head of the church, right? Therefore, the church is to submit to Christ. Anybody have a problem with that? Did you realize that Christ submitted first? Think about that for a second. So before God asked the church to submit to him, Christ submitted himself to my biggest need. Wait a minute. But Christ is the head of the church. Yeah. But the head submits to the body. It did. Isn't that the way that love is supposed to work? Isn't that the way that we are supposed to love one another? Isn't that the way that God commands us to love? Think about it for just a second. Both men and women, in the sound of my voice, when you love somebody, you want what they want more than what you want. Don't believe me? Guys, you ever been to a ballet before? I have. You know how much I wanted to go to a ballet? Man, I'd rather go lick coal flagpoles in Minnesota in the middle of the winter. I'm not kidding you. I am not a ballet. So why'd you go? My wife likes ballet. But on the reverse side, my wife has been out instead of the football game. And she'd rather drive a truck off a cliff than go sit through a four-hour football game. But she went to a football game. So we wanted what the other person wanted more than what we want, because that is the way love works, which is also the very nature of this word, submit. So when you love someone, you find yourself submitting to their will more often than your own will. Isn't that not the essence of submission? Isn't that what you get from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's standing there and he's pleading with God and he's saying, hey, God, Father, not my will, but yours. If you can find another way, I'm all good with it. We can go do a different way. We can find some other way to do the cross. We can do that, God. I'm okay with that. But if this is what has to be done, not my will, your will. You see, this idea of submission, unfortunately, we've turned into an authoritarian hierarchy of you do what I say. And that's not the way Jesus exampled it, did it? When Jesus showed the idea of submission, he didn't say, just do what I say. He said, hey, let me show you how it's done. And you do what I do. So when we begin talking about this word submit, you understand it really is all about love. And so if you're unwilling to submit, husbands to your wives and wives to your husband, if you're unwilling to submit, then you understand the problem is not the word submission. The problem is that you probably don't love as much as you think you do. You've got boundaries in your life and you're like, okay, I'll submit up until this line. But if you cross this line, we go no further. Where was Jesus's line? Where was it? He didn't have one. Rich talked about it earlier. He went all the way to the cross and allowed himself to be sacrificed for the bride of Christ, for his wife. He says, I submit because what you need is more important than what I want. And then when he looks at the church, he says, hey, you do the same. And then when he puts the husband and wife together, we start with the same idea, right? The idea of submission isn't an authoritative thing. The idea of submission is supposed to be a mutual understanding that we submit to each other. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So this idea of submission isn't the idea that you're being subjected to somebody. The idea of submission is you're into this as a partnership with each other. So I hope that takes some of the sting off of the verse, because I want you to understand. We get so caught up in this word submit that we miss the beautiful qualifications that God puts out to say, a godly woman, this is your superpower. And look at all the good that it can do. Because once we move past that word, you know what we find out? The incredible woman has an incredible influence on her family. This is what it says. So that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. You know something interesting about that? Men, we get really caught up in those little words, spiritual leader of the household. Did you know nowhere in Scripture does it ever talk about the idea that a man can lead a woman to Christ through his actions just through being pure and reverent? But it says, ladies, here's your power. Even without saying a word, even without giving a lecture, even without saying anything or starting an argument or nagging or any of that kind of stuff, it says you have the power to have an incredible influence over your husband, even if they don't believe in God. Man, that's quite some power, isn't it? It says that you can influence them with the way that you live your life to the point that you can actually change your husband through your commitment to God. That's incredible, folks. That's powerful stuff to remember. Ladies, you've been given the ability to incredibly influence your family. Think about it, guys and ladies that are here this morning. How many people can look back through your life and find at least one woman that had a spiritual significance on your life? I don't have to try very hard. I got a whole list of them. I got some guys that had some really good influence on my life, but I have just as many ladies that came in and out of my life throughout my life and taught me what it meant to be a spiritual follower of God. Did you know that 85% of Sunday school teachers for kids, they're women? Now, there's nothing wrong with having a male teacher, but you do understand something. A woman's influence not only impacts her husband, but it impacts her kids. You see, you can influence your husband. You can do that by just how you're living your godly life. You can do that with the idea of purity and reverence, which just means doing the right thing in the right way that brings attention to God. And when your kids sit around and they begin to watch mom and dad's relationship, you know what you see? Another incredible influence, because what you see is how the mom affects the kids. This is what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul writing to Timothy, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you." He's not here. Where's Dad? Dad probably had influence too. We'll talk. Dad, you get yours in a few weeks. Father's Day's coming, okay? You have your own sermon in this series. But you understand what's happening with the kids, right? Who was their influence of Timothy? Grandma. So that means if you're here today and you are a grandmother, you have the ability to affect the spiritual temperature of your grandchildren. If you're here today and you're a mom, then guess what? You have the ability to play a key role in affecting the spiritual temperature of your kids. Even when they're 30, 40 years old. How? By your life. Not your words. Not your lectures. They don't need to see that. What they need to see is an incredible woman that has incredible character. This is what it says. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment and such an elaborate hairstyles and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self. I find a little comfort in this scripture because we are obsessed with physical. Nip it, tuck it, stuff it, lift it, paint it, cover it, cut it, dye it. We do all of these things. And here's the thing, it really doesn't help that much because it just eventually all wears out anyway, right? We have an ability to just take everything and make it physical for ourselves. And you know, I was a youth minister for 17 years, which for some reason God kept putting more girls in my youth group than guys. I don't know why, but he just did. But he gave me two sons because, you know, I've already done my time. Okay, I had a whole bunch of girls throughout my life. But here's the thing. As watching these young ladies grow up, I watched more than one generation come through the youth group. They struggle with this. We put so much attention on how we look, on the physical attributes, and you still see it in our society today. You don't even have to flip very hard on the television, and you see this idea. It's all about the physical. How do you look? How do the clothes fit? How do you wear your makeup? How do you cut your hair? And we've passed this on to our young ladies, and then we're wondering, what's wrong with our society? It's because this is what we're teaching beauty comes from. Physical. Now, I just want to let you know there's nothing wrong with looking nice. But the incredible woman's beauty, that's not where it comes from. It comes from your character. That's what they tell us. Even old Solomon, when he is talking to his son, even he can get this one right. He tells him, charm is deceitful and beauty fades, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Almost makes a nice little rhyme, doesn't it? Think Solomon maybe did it on purpose to give his son a slogan? Hey, son, you're going to be out there for a lot of time, and you're going to see women, and let me tell you something, they're pretty. I mean, and you know what? They work hard at being pretty. They do. But sometimes you got to look past the outward shell and ask yourself, what's their relationship with God? Because you understand their relationship with God is the one that's going to translate into your children's relationship with God. Remember Lois and Eunice? So guys, we're supposed to be leading our families, but we're supposed to understand that when it comes to the spiritual thing, when the rubber meets the road, women, you have the superpower. You're the ones that are going to influence your parent, your families much more than your husbands ever will. How do I know? The Bible told me so. I can read. That's what God said. God said, women, this is you. And after you get your incredible character, this is the one that honestly, this was my mom's superpower, by the way. Women, you are an incredible communicator. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, when I say it's my mom's superpower, I'm talking about the idea that gentle and quiet. You'll know that we got the gentle, but the quiet. Anybody ever have the moment when mom looks at you, you stop? Come on, what do we call that? The mom look. Okay, you ever got the mom look before? You know, you're doing something in the back of the car, and dad's, stop that, stop that, stop that, stop that. And mom just turns, the kids are like, we've all been there. You understand, you can influence your kids and you don't even have to say a word. Dad can spend 3 hours giving a lecture and you can sum it up and just give them a glance and say, got that? It's incredible. It's awesome the way that God gave you the ability to do this in such a way that it influences your family because you are such an incredible communicator. Those words, gentle and quiet. Sometimes we see these words in our society today as weakness. What are we telling everybody to do? Let your voice be heard. Stand up and shout. Grab a sign. Grab a petition. Go out. Have a rally. Influence the world by your voice and yell louder and louder and louder and more often. I just scared half of y'all because my voice went up. You see what happens? I got your attention. But are you really listening that hard to what I'm saying? No. It's this idea of a gentle and quiet spirit because women, you have an ability that a lot of guys don't have. You know the right way to speak. There's just something about your voice that you know when it's time to be abrupt and you know when it's time to not be abrupt. And you have this ability that's incredible. It says that you know the right... You know the right way to speak. I reverse my thing. You know the right time to speak also. You know, a lot of women are women of few words. Most moms that I've met, most people call them shy. But they will hold back until the timing is right. And when mom speaks, mom is spoken. And the conversation is over. Because that's an incredible woman. She's an incredible communicator for her family. And the problem is we need more of these incredible women. Ladies, we owe you an apology. I can say I'm sorry, but I can only apologize for me. Because we have led you astray. Our society is in the process because we have mixed up exactly what it means to be a woman and what it means to be a male. And we're having all of these debates about all of these different issues here. And when it comes right down to it, what we're really doing is we're ripping the very foundation from the family. Because ladies, as much as men want to say we're the spiritual leaders, you understand, you guys are the ones that lay the spiritual foundation. And if I can get you to abandon your powers and I can get you to go out and try to do things the way that we do it and we can confuse the world, then you know what? We have weakened the family. And ladies, I'm sorry we've done that to you. See, I can respect exactly what it means to be an incredible woman for God. It means that sometimes You have to look at the needs of your kids more than you look at the needs of yourself. Did y'all not notice in that clip that I showed you at the beginning? What was Mrs. Incredible rescuing the most often? Her kids. Pulling them out of trouble's way, getting them out of danger, protecting them, wrapping herself around them. That's what she did. And ladies, that's what you do for our families. So as today is Mother's Day, the only words I can say is thank you. Thank you for taking that role in our families, that a lot of times you're right there on the front line and you're dealing with issues head on. And then us guys, we kind of swoop in later trying to be the hero, and we bounce and say, I've got the solution. And you've already wrapped yourself around it, and that's who you are. Thank you. Men, we set aside this day, and we call it Mother's Day. And we set it aside in hopes that maybe we can go out and buy a present, maybe take mom out for lunch, and maybe you're going to make her lunch. I don't know what your plans are this afternoon. But understand that really Mother's Day should be an ongoing thing, because mothers are so important to our families, both our spiritual one and our physical one. Spiritual one, yeah, the church. Look today, the women outnumber the men. Most women will bring their family long before their men will come with them. You understand, that's an incredible woman. So women, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your willingness, even though when we hate the word submit, you've done it faithfully throughout the years. Submitting yourself, making yourself available to your family, making yourself the incredible women that had incredible influence on this church through the generations. That's our sermon today, is thank you, ladies. Don't stop doing it. Because there is a whole new generation out there that needs their incredible grandmothers, their incredible moms. Later on, the next generation will need you also. We have to be willing to pass that down.